Kaylee will be speaking. And when Kaylee first came to Sterling Study Group and she started talking, I was blown away because she has a depth of knowing about New Thought that far surpasses her years. She's young and brilliant, and as well as beautiful. And we just love her. And when she speaks, we're always blown away. So no pressure, Kaylee. But
that is so kind of you.
We have been looking forward to this. So here's Kaylee.
You are so generous. Thank you. Very kind. Hello, everyone. To those I haven't met or spoken to before, my name is Kaylee. And my little intention for today is just, I felt, I'll be honest with you, I felt a little bit disconnected lately from kind of New Thought and Divine Science. I went from, like, listening to Dr. Joseph Murphy and Neville Goddard, like, every day, to less of that, and so this was a really wonderful diving back in for me. Oh, very good. So I'm very excited to be here talking to you all about how you can change your life. And so if you've heard me speak before, I love to start and end with just a simple, light meditation. Nothing huge, nothing big. Just, you know, we all have stuff going on, whether we have, you know, family we got to talk to later today or stuff to do or errands to run. It's just nice to get into sort of a relaxed little headspace. And I like to always tie in the meditation to what we're talking about. So I invite you to just close your eyes if you'd like. You can keep them open if you want. It's all good. It's all good. And just take a light, deep breath with me. And you can hold it as long as you'd like, as long as you feel comfortable. When you're ready, just breathe out. And I'd like for us to imagine ourselves sitting in a meadow, in a field. And I was inspired by the beautiful weather yesterday, 70 degrees with a light breeze. I want us to imagine that this field is filled with wildflowers. Whatever flowers you'd like could be golden poppies, Queen Anne's lace, black-eyed Susan. Whatever flower you would like is in this meadow. And the sun is warm on your face. So gentle. So life-giving. And in your mind's eye, in your imagination, look up to the sky, and you see the sky is so, so blue. It almost shines. And maybe there's clouds, gentle wisps. Maybe there's clouds, big cotton, soft, fuzzy, whatever you want, or maybe it's just a blue sky. And you just look up and you know, this is peace and this is connection. And then I want you to, in your mind's eye, look ahead, and I want you to see that there's a forest at the end of this clearing. And you say, okay, the forest seems like it's saying hello to me, and seems like it says it wants me to come take a walk. So we say, we're going to go take a walk, and so we walk over to the forest that's at the edge of this meadow. And where the meadow was sunshine and warm, the flowers against you like a whisper. This forest is cooler, and the trees are leaning over you like they're about to give you a hug. And we're just going to walk through, and the canopy above is gorgeous. The sun is filtering through the trees, yellow, green. It's almost neon. It almost glows. And maybe there's some critters, some squirrels, some birdies in the trees with their nest. And we're just going to walk a little bit. The air is so clear here, fills your lungs, rejuvenates you. And underneath your feet, the earth is soft and the path is clear. Maybe there's some pine needles, maybe not. And then we notice that we've come to a fork in the road. And on one side, it can be whatever side you see in your head. There's a path, and it's visibly very different. It's rocky, and there's some thorns, and it's more shadowed, and there's not as much wildlife there. And you know, this path will be a challenge and a struggle. And I want you to look to the other side. And this path is clear and sunshine, and you hear the birds chirping. And I want us to put pause on this meditation, and I want us to remember this scene. The scene of the two paths, much like the Robert Frost poem, Two Paths Diverged in a Wood. And I want us to open our eyes now. Or blink if your eyes have already been opened. And come back to the present. And I wanted to leave us there with that image. Because that's what the crux of this chapter that Holmes speaks about is that we have a choice. We have a choice to choose negative or positive. We have a choice to change the path that we are on. And what really struck me when I first read this chapter was I really appreciated how Holmes acknowledged that there are things within ourselves. There are patterns, there are thought beliefs, there are programs that are negative. I think oftentimes in sort of new thought and new age, sometimes there's such a focus on, you know, and rightfully so, positivity. But something that we realize, that I've come to realize, is that for whatever reason, we have chosen to be in these 3D bodies here on Earth. And from what I've studied and what I've learned and what I've felt, Earth is a tricky planet. Earth is a tricky dimension to be on. It's a teaching planet. It's definitely about learning. And there will be struggles with that. And so it'd be great to see Holmes acknowledge that as human beings, there is going to be some struggle and there are going to be negative patterns that you recognize within yourself. And the key here, though, is to, one, recognize and to realize that you want a change. And Holmes talks about, he says, you know, there's not one person on Earth who doesn't have these negativity. You know, Holmes himself, Dr. Joseph Murphy, my personal favorite New Thought author, Neville Goddard, you know, they all had their struggles. You know, life happens sometimes, and we have these negative patterns that have been instilled in our hearts and our minds. Even Jesus in the Bible, he had his righteous anger when he was at the temple. So these negative patterns, these negative thoughts, these habits, they're a part of us. And how they got there, that can be a tricky topic. And I, myself, well, as recent as 2 months ago, I was really into practices where you would sit down and you would really dig into trauma and memories, trying to figure out, like, where did these habits come from? What was told to me when I was young? Where did I learn that? And then you would try and fix them. Particularly I did EFT tapping, emotional freedom technique, or different energetic shifts. And that, personally, for me, was very tricky. And so even before I'd read this chapter, I had sort of gone away from that and said, you know what, I don't know if I want to spend time digging through with tweezers, you know, these things and these beliefs and patterns. And Holmes says in this chapter, you don't necessarily have to do that. And that was really, really great for me to read personally. And I'm not knocking, you know, therapy or talking. I think absolutely I've done therapy myself. It's great to talk through things, to acknowledge trauma. Again, acknowledging that there are these negative things and there are these experiences that can be rough, that all healing has its place. All healing is a form of a gift. But Holmes says, you know, you don't have to dwell on it. you don't have to be like, gosh, when I was 6 years old, my teacher said that to me in front of the whole class, and so now I'm terrified of being looking stupid. Holmes says, what you can do instead is you can start realizing that you have the power to change and start changing those beliefs and changing those habits and those thought forms and patterns. And because the universe has a way of synchronizing everything, I was speaking with my grandma yesterday. I call my grandparents every week, and especially now. And for those of you who've spoken to me before, I have family in New England. And if you have been to New England, there is certainly a sort of experience that, in my experience at least, that they have a bit of a rougher outlook on life, at least my side of the family. Definitely more negative. And I was speaking with my grandma, and she said something, and she said to me, she said, good things don't last, Kaylee. And I was really shocked by that, and because I consider myself to be a positive person and really try to be an optimist. And I didn't say it to her because, you know, she's 81 years old, and she's stated that she's not open to changing her thoughts at this age, and I respect that. But I said it to myself, and I said, wow. Something happened to her in her 81 years of life, and still going, still many years to come, I'm blessed and I hope with her. And she said, and you know, what happened to her that made her think good things don't last? And I was thinking, and I said, dang, that's a sad way to live. And then I thought back to the chapter that I read, and it's like, Holmes says, okay, all right, so let's take that belief. That's something that's negative. That's something that's been put in your subconscious. And, you know, it's always good to remind yourself that the subconscious is essentially like a computer. It's literally a survival thing, right? Like, we have patterns and thoughts in our subconscious that we just, oftentimes we don't even acknowledge, that were put in there because there was an emotional reaction to it, and our brain said, whoa, gotta keep that in store, even if we really don't. So Holmes is like, all right, so there's that belief. And for whatever reason, my grandma thinks that good things don't last. And the thing is, there's a choice here. She has chosen to live her life with that. She has chosen to not acknowledge that there's a different way of thinking, that there's a different point of view she could take. And we each have that choice. And so Holmes says, the first step is to say, all right, there needs to be a change. And the first step is acknowledging. Second step is saying there needs to be a change. And that can be tricky. That can be tricky because that takes acknowledging that we have created our lives and we have chosen to keep believing certain things. And that can be scary. And it's okay to realize that that's scary and that can be tricky sometimes. And then Holmes says, you're gonna take life by the reins now. And he says, you can start affirming and doing scientific prayer, which is affirmative prayer. And he says, you can start saying, those negative beliefs are no longer within me. And I thought of how I wanted to word this, you know, what you're really drawing to you, is your words. I think often how important your words are. Spell. What do they do in magic? They do spells. What do you do with words? You spell things. Your words have power. So I thought of how I wanted to word this, and I decided, okay, I would say it as, that which is no longer for my highest and greatest good is no longer in my subconscious. That's a little bit wordy, but that's what fit for me. And you can, you know, adjust it as you see fit, as what feels good with you. And so Holmes says, you know, you don't have to, you know, dig down to the base. You don't have to be like, that experience that I had at age 6 and the teacher yelled at me in front of the class, that's no longer in my subconscious. You don't have to do that. You can do a more sweeping pattern. And I got the image of literally taking like a big construction equipment or shovel and just digging things out and just saying, all right, you know what? There's things in there and I don't want them in there anymore. I've decided I want to make this change. So step one is just making that affirmation that it's good with you and speaks to you, and starting to affirm it and realizing that those words have power. And then Holm speaks about how what you can do then is start to take what you want to work on and take the negative and what's its opposite, and then start affirming that. So start clearing out first, and then start filling with the good. And I have a dear friend of mine who is a massage therapist and a Reiki healer through energy work. And she talks a lot about how when you are healing someone and you take out negative energy or you take out stagnant or stuck energy, you need to fill it up with something good, because nature abhors a vacuum. Nature doesn't like nothing, right? That's the pressure gradient force that causes the wind. It's high pressure moving to lower pressure. There's always going to be movement. So what you want to do is, after you've done this affirming of this negativity, that which no longer serves me is gone from my subconscious, after you've worked with that for a little bit, however long it is, you know, I've decided I'm going to do a minute to start my other meditation every day, just focusing on that. And then, or you could do, you know, if you want to focus on just that for 2 weeks, whatever speaks to you, then you're going to start filling it with what you want instead. And like I said, that's just a matter of choosing the opposite of what you're experiencing. So for me, I've always dealt with insomnia through my whole life, right? So instead of, oh my gosh, you know, I can't sleep, I'm so tired all the time, I'm going to say, I am well rested. I sleep in the palm of God's hand. God's love wrapped around me. Angel wings is my blanket. I wake up enlivened and energetic. You can get poetic with it. You can also just say, I feel healthy. You know, whatever feels good to you. And that's going to be different for everybody. But you just have to choose something that is the opposite of the struggle. And you're going to start to focus on that and fill up your subconscious with those good things instead. And Holmes says that is the key. He has the chapter heading, excuse me, the subheading rather, called "You're Only a Failure If You Focus on That." And that is so true. What you think about, you bring about. Emerson said, "What a man thinks on all day is what he becomes." I'm paraphrasing that. Forgive me. I'm not a transcendentalist here. But he said, you know, Emerson was very enlightened, and he said, you know, what you think about is what you bring about. And Holmes specifically cites a Bible verse, and I'll share a little bit here. As many of you know, I was raised in a very traditionally religious home and schooling, and for many years had a lot of anger and fear toward God and the Bible. And when I discovered New Thought, the way they phrase things is, you know, the classic quote that Holmes uses is, "As a man or as a person thinketh in their heart, so shall it be." Right? And I remember reading Dr. Joseph Murphy, another New Thought author, and he said, heart is just another word for subconscious. So now I look at the Bible in a whole different way, but that's neither here nor there. But anyway, so the quote, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall it be," so he experiences, as you think in your subconscious, what you put in your subconscious comes forth. And it's important, when you're affirming something, and when you're putting something in your subconscious, to really feel. And I know that's so, like, whatever, kind of trite, like, you know, okay, feel, okay, Kaylee, what's that mean? And I liken it to, and again, all respect for all religions, but in my experience, when I see people do certain prayers, it seems very rote, right? Like, it's just memorization, they're just reciting. And then I was reading about a Catholic practice called the Novena, where a faithful person will take a rosary and they will pray for 9 days to a saint. And they will do it with all their heart and their soul, with power and passion, and often miracles happen. And this is how you should approach your scientific prayer. With the focus and the power and the belief of someone who's that faithful. But the key here is what we're faithful to is God or the law. And one must realize that, and this was probably the hardest thing for me to realize when I switched to believing in New Thought, again, coming from a more traditional religion, God wants us to win. God wants us to use our power. God has so much love for us, and God is only pure harmony and peace, and all that which is good and holy and good to think upon. When I was younger, I often thought that God was this guy in the sky with a beard and who hated us and who wanted to kill us and was just anger. I mean, if you look at the first story we're told in the Bible, what happens, Adam and Eve eat from the fruit of the tree of good and evil and the knowledge, the tree of knowledge and life. So knowing things is bad. No, actually, it's the opposite. God wants us to know our power. God wants us to realize that we are God. We are God having a human experience. I often think of the example, I think I've used it once before, is that if God is a cloud, a giant, gorgeous, powerful, universal cloud, then we are each raindrops or snowflakes or a wisp of air. We're, yes, becoming separate, if you will, in a 3D form, but we all have that cloud, that God within us. We all have God within us. And so when you're doing your affirmations and you're realizing you want to change from this negativity to this positivity, realize that you have the entire power of the infinite and God behind you. Not only that, but God is your personal cheerleader. There is no, and I'm closing my eyes here because this is such a, It moves me because it's such a thing for me that God loves you personally so much. And there is no separation. God adores you, and God says you have this power, and you can, I gave you that power, and you're part of me, and I'm part of you. And yes, eat from the tree. Eat from the tree of knowledge. Yes, yes, yes. Expand your mind. Change your life. Because you can do it and you have the power. So every time that you are affirming, remember that. I picture God behind me or an angel or something. And it's like cheering me on. Like, you got this. You're doing this. You're doing it. And remember always that God is only that which is good and that which is holy, that which is harmonious and peace and love. And so if God is that and you are God, then you by extension are all those good things. So you are already all these good things that you're affirming and that you want in your life. You are already that. It's just a matter of, as I like to say, sliding into the dimension where you are that. Because there's a theory I think that Einstein put out that, and this boggles my mind, right? But that there is a universe where every single possible moment for every single possible thing for every single possible person is happening simultaneously. Because time is not how we think it. It's not linear. It's way more than that. So, frankly, I kind of think reality is just us flipping through whatever dimension we choose. Back to the meditation, whichever path we choose. And I was trying to remember, to use another metaphor, if it was Dr. Joseph Murphy or Abraham Hicks, maybe Connie, you can speak to this afterwards, but one of them used a metaphor of humans so often have a glass, two glasses in front of them. One has orange juice and one has bleach. And often people will drink the bleach and they'll take the negative or they'll take the shadowy, rocky path. And it's just because it's what they're used to, what they're told that they need to do. But in reality, you have every right and all the power and ability to drink that orange juice or take that sunny path. It's just a matter of recognizing that you've been doing this an old way, you want to change, and then taking the affirmation and taking the focus and taking the practice of starting to think the other way. And so Holmes says, again, it's what you acknowledge. Do you think you're going to be a failure? That's what's going to happen. If you think you're going to be a success, that's what's going to happen. And so you have to always be vigilant, you know, not obsessive about it, of course, but put it into a daily practice of meditation, of focus, or even just 2 minutes a day of you know what? No, I'm going to start saying I'm healthy. Just imagine, you know, like those people who do those novenas. You're focusing on your energy, on these affirmations, and on changing your life, because you have that power and you have that ability. And then Holmes ends the chapter discussing health and how so often health is an expression of our mental attitude and our mental state. And that is so true. And I love this example from Dr. Joseph Murphy, again, one of my favorite authors. And he says he's a very prolific speaker and a very prolific. He traveled all around the world and talked about New Thought. And he said, was in South Africa once, and you would see people, they'd come up to his hotel room, and they would talk to him, and this gentleman came up, and he said, oh my God, I have the worst sinusitis. I have sinus infections multiple times a year, can't sleep, can't breathe. And Dr. Joseph Murphy said, okay, well, let's just chat. He said, let's just chat. And this is kind of Murphy's way of, like, sort of seeing and digging what kind of patterns were in the brain. And he says, this gentleman said to him, I have so much hate and anger for my father because my dad changed the will and gave it all to my brother. And Murphy said, okay, all right, well, where's your dad? And Murphy said, oh, he's dead. Or excuse me, and the gentleman said, he's dead. And Murphy said, your father has been passed on to the next dimension for years, and you're still holding on to this anger. He said, I want you to realize that your father is now with God, and your father is literally swimming in only peace and harmony and beauty, and is only wishing you pure love and the absolute best. And he said that the man just started sobbing. And Murphy sat with him, and he cried. And he said, to be a little bit gross here, it was like popping a psychic boil. There are things that are carried within us that are reflected in our health and our lives that we do have to acknowledge sometimes, and we do have to say, all right, we want to change. And Murphy said, what I want you to do now is every time you think of your brother or your father, I want you to say, I give them to God. They are blessed by God. And he said, the man wrote him 3 months later and said, I have no more sinus issues. He said, I haven't gotten a sinus infection in months. I can breathe clearer than I ever have in my entire life. And that's just a beautiful little example of how when you change your thoughts, and you change your pattern, and you change the path that you're on, and you realize you have the power and the capability, and God wants you to make those changes, make your life as you see fit. How your world can change, both physically, mentally, everything, because it's all energetic, right? We're very energetic beings, and it's all about the energy we're in and we're giving out, the dimension we're shifting into, if you will, to use that example. And so I'm going to end here. I want us to go back to the meditation. So if you'd like to close your eyes, and we're back at that path. Let that fork in the road. And you see the darker path that's rocky and a little bit shadowy. And you're like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to take that path today. Maybe in the past I had. Maybe I thought I had to. I had to prove myself. Or someone told me I had to, whatever the reason is, you say, not today. That no longer serves me, and it's gone. It disappears. It's gone from your subconscious. We're going to take the sunny path instead. And as we're walking along this sunny path, I'd like us to just take a couple minutes, and I'll time it here. Just take a couple minutes and listen. Maybe there's birds. I'm seeing personally beautiful flowers, cotton candy pink, robin's egg blue the color of forget-me-nots that I saw last year when I was able to visit Paris right near the base of the Eiffel Tower, the most gorgeous alpine forget-me-not. Whatever you're seeing is right and good. This path is sunshine and this path is illuminating. You've chosen this path. You've changed your point of view. And right now, I'd like us to take just a minute of silence, and what your brain and your subconscious and God want you to know is going to be told to you. And whether that's literally just, I'm going to make a sandwich after this, or I'm so excited to be here, or an answer to a question you might have had. But just take a couple minutes and let that come to you. And just sit here in this space. Whatever you've been told, again, whether it's as simple as a song lyric or guidance on something you were wondering about, it's well and it's good. Or whether you were just sitting and relaxing, that's all good and great too. It's whatever your mind and whatever God thought you needed most at that moment. So to end the meditation, we're going to walk back out into the forest. We're going to backtrack on the path. But know that that path is always there. You can always choose that path. I'm going to walk back through the peaceful forest and go back to the wild flower field. And inhale. Feel the sun on your skin. Feel connection. This is God. You are God. We're all God. God is just love. God is harmony, God is peace, God is health, God is wisdom, God is the answer. The answer and goodness is already in God, and you're God, right? So it's part of God, so it's already you, it's already in you. You just have to choose to change and go into that universe and that energetic state and make the change. To get to a state of being one with God like that, to drink the orange juice instead of the bleach, to take the sunny path instead of the shadowy one. And you can do that. You can, you will, you are capable, and God wants you to. God is cheering you on. And you're one with God. And that's pretty awesome. You want to open your eyes now? That's great. They've been open. That's great, too. Nice deep breath. Be subtle. Thank you all for listening. I hope it was informative, and still it is, and I hope it felt good.